Hey you guys, HCG Chica, welcome back. I have Jessica with me today and we have lots of cool stuff to talk about. We're gonna talk a lot about her P3 to Life experience. For those of you who don't know, p3tolife.com is where you can go and it's a structured program to take you through stabilization after phase two of HCG and really extends into kind of life. It's kind of a way of eating that a lot of women are finding that they're happy eating for life. But we're also gonna talk about some health issues she has and how that relates to eating and, you know, keeping your weight stable and a little bit about her actual HCG experience as well. So welcome, Jessica.
Hi.
How are you today?
Good. It's good to be here.
Yes, I know. It's so nice to meet you. So I always like to just jump into it because people love to hear, you know, about the actual journey. So why don't you just give us some of your basic stats as far as like your height and age and like your weight loss with HCG, just in a little nutshell there so people have some basis to go off of.
I am 29. I am 5 feet tall. And when I started HCG, I was 150 pounds. And today I am 122 pounds.
Wow, that's fantastic. What size change would you say that is, like pant size or whatnot?
So I was probably about a size 6 and I am a 0 now.
Wow, you're so tiny. Which, when you're 5 feet, is normal. You know, sometimes when you're like, if you're 5'8" or something, and you're like a size 0, but it's like actually no, when you're 5'1", that's about normal. Very cool for you. That's great. So 6 to size 0, and then you mentioned that, like I was telling you before in our pre-interview chat, I can't even imagine this, but you actually used to weigh even a lot more than 150 pounds. Do you want to just talk about that briefly?
Yeah, I am. Let's see. My husband's in the military, he's not anymore. Several years ago, we lived in California. He was stationed out there, and we got married, and I instantly started gaining weight, and I did not know why. And I didn't even realize it was such a big deal until I had some friends come to visit me from out of town that I used to be their same size, and I could not fit into any of their clothes. Like, we were all kind of sharing clothes. And so my husband went to Ranger School, and I took that time to, like, dedicate myself to being healthier. I was a little over 200 pounds then, and now it took me 5 years, and I ran, I did P90X, I did, what's the other one, Insanity.
And oh, right, yeah.
Everything I could. The only thing that really helped was Weight Watchers and running. So I just, but I had to be very strict. I ran 6 days a week, and I was very rigid in my eating. And so it kind of, it was just a lot of work. It was exhausting to work that hard. So it took me about maybe 4.5, 5 years to actually lose the weight. And I lost like around 100 pounds.
Wow.
And maintained it for a little while. And then health stuff kind of helped me gain more. And so.
Gotcha, gotcha. Yeah. And then at what point did you come across the HCG protocol?
So this past year, I had a very difficult year in my personal life. And my eating wasn't out of control, but it definitely wasn't as controlled as I had learned to live.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of was less rigid with myself and ate some of my feelings. I'm like a feelings eater.
Yeah.
So I gained weight. And around that time, I just remember expressing to my mom that I was so frustrated because in my mind, the only way to lose weight was to work really hard and be really rigid, and I didn't want to live that way anymore. There's a lot of other parts of my life that are very restricted, and I just wanted something that wasn't super rigid and restricted. So she and my dad had both done the HCG diet, and so I started like researching, because I have a lot of health issues, so I started researching thyroid conditions and HCG because I wanted to kind of make sure that it wasn't going to hurt anything.
Right.
And yours was the only website I found that had any information about actual like test results.
Gotcha.
Is what like helped me find you and gave me the confidence like to try it. Because
cool.
It's kind of a controversial diet. So I didn't want to necessarily go talk to like conventional doctors about it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, you're just asking to leave feeling horrible if you do that.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Gotcha. And while we're at it, do you mind just sharing what your some of the health, past health issues you have, current health issues, just for frame of reference?
Yeah, so around the time that we were in California, my husband and I had been trying to get pregnant and were not able to. And
Yeah.
we had been married for a couple years at that point. I wasn't on birth control ever and could not get pregnant. So I started all this testing, and all my thyroid tests kept coming back normal, which was very discouraging because that to me was the only thing that would explain the difficulty in losing weight.
Right.
So we moved to Alabama, and when I got to Alabama, I started having like debilitating anxiety and panic attacks. I would leave my house and end up in the hospital because
Wow.
I was having panic attacks. And I'm a very social person, but I kind of got to the point where like people gave me so much anxiety that I preferred to just sit at home by myself. And
Yeah.
so my mom told me about a doctor in my hometown in Virginia that was like an osteopath. So same studying, but kind of different ways of treating things. And so I went to her, and she just ran a ton of tests. And she was the one that found my thyroid issue. So in your thyroid, I think it's like T4 that converts to T3.
Right.
And all my T4 numbers were coming back normal. To get
Yeah.
your T3 tested, it's not always a like traditional test that is run.
Right.
So she ran T3 and found that my T4 was not converting. So
Gotcha.
she also ran, I mean, I had all kinds of hormonal issues, but she ran a Lyme disease test, which came back positive. And Lyme disease it's a little bit more talked about now, but it wasn't very talked about. This was maybe like it would be about 4 years ago.
Okay.
So she diagnosed me with Lyme. I started treatment for that. Shortly after that, it seemed almost overnight, woke up with a very big tumor on my neck.
Wow.
And it was an inch around and an inch, it stuck out an inch. And
Wow.
so my husband was in Afghanistan at the time, and I woke up one morning and kind of freaked out. So I
That's
went
scary.
home. It was horrible. I went home, and my doctor, they did a biopsy, and it came back that it was cancerous. So they removed the tumor. It had spread to all my lymph nodes. They removed all my lymph nodes in my neck. It had gone a little bit into my lungs, so I had to do radiation. And about maybe a month after finishing radiation, I started having, at the time we called episodes, because it was like pieces of time just went missing from my memory.
Wow.
And it happened about 5 or 6 times a week for about 2.5 years. And 2.5 years later, found out that I had an insulin-secreting tumor on my pancreas. So what was happening was that it was secreting insulin. So insulin lowers your blood sugar. So it's like
Right.
a necessary part of your body. But the tumor was lowering my blood sugar even when it wasn't necessary.
So you were getting like low blood sugar episodes, basically,
Yeah, it
right?
was so weird because your normal blood sugar is like between 80 and 120,
Yeah.
and mine was consistently like not higher than 40.
Oh
And
my gosh, I can't even imagine that.
yeah, it was, I mean, and at the time, I didn't understand why. Now I get the insulin and the sugar, but
Yeah.
at the time, I didn't understand it. So I was eating, all I knew is that I would have an episode, and I would eat like cookie dough or like just. I had sugar in my house because I knew it helped me feel
You
better.
felt better.
Yes, and I kept telling my doctors to like please test my insulin, please test my insulin.
Yeah.
But they were so focused on the cancer thing that they never
Oh.
took me seriously. So I've learned to advocate for myself and my own health a lot, which is
Yeah.
kind of sad that you have to do that, but you have to
Right.
like know about your own body to
Right.
advocate for it. So they found this. Well, I went into a coma for about 26 hours, and just it was. Now I know it was like I didn't have diabetes, but it was like a diabetic coma, and I slept for 26 hours. And my
Wow.
husband was getting very concerned, so my mom was like, "We got to get everyone we know to pray." And so they were all praying, and I
Yeah.
finally came out of the coma, and that was what led us to the neurologist and. Long story short, they found a little tumor on my pancreas, and they removed it and part of my pancreas. And then maybe a year later, I had a year of like mostly good health, but I had like other stuff going on. And then a year later, was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, and now and officially last week finally got a conventional doctor to diagnose me with Lyme disease. So.
Gotcha. Yeah, because that's RA always goes with Lyme. Usually, I mean, so many, like, especially if you're a young person getting diagnosed with arthritis, it's like, it's probably not just that. It's probably from Lyme, you know?
Right. Well, you know, your test results don't actually match RA totally, but, and I was like, please test me for Lyme disease. Well, that's not very common. I was like, I understand it, but I'm paying for it, so please test me for Lyme disease. And they did, and it came back positive.
There's a couple things I wanted to admit, like that I wanted to hone in on what you said. The first one was when you talked about the thyroid testing. For those of you guys out there, like she mentioned, Jessica mentioned that her testing initially was that her thyroid was fine, but she had all these symptoms. And just like you said, you have to advocate for your own health. Doctors in general, your general practitioner isn't going to do the type of thyroid testing that you guys need to find out if you really have low thyroid problems. Like you said, they're going to test your T4 level, your TSH, and it's going to probably come back normal. I had the same thing happen. So like I had all these horrible symptoms and then like, oh, well, it looks normal. So, and then, and so if you actually, there's a really, really great, it's the best resource that I know of online when it comes to knowing what tests to ask for thyroid stuff and even adrenal stuff too. It's stopthethyroidmadness.com, and I'll give you guys a link to that in the show notes that goes with this interview. So you guys should go there because it will tell you what testing to ask for. Like she said, you need to get a free T3 level test, because that will show you, T4, like she said, is the storage form of thyroid hormone. So it's basically inactive in your body. It doesn't actually make you feel better. It's once it's converted into active thyroid hormone, which is T3, that's what's like your metabolism. That's your energy. So that's what you need to be checking, you know, and that's cool that, you know, you finally got that and saw that those levels were low. You know, because people have a conversion problem a lot of times. And then like for me, it was, I finally got so sick that it actually did finally show up even on traditional like TSH and T4 testing. But by that point, like I was so sick, like I could have easily caught it like a few years before if they had done some of that other testing, you know?
Yeah.
So like save yourself some pain and like do that. So yeah, that's really good information. And then also what you said about just being an advocate for your own health, that you have to do that now, because it's the only way. If you have to do your own research online and you have to come to the doctor with the information that you want to get and be firm, because they just won't do it otherwise, you know?
And it can be like very overwhelming and intimidating because you feel like you're not qualified to do that, but nobody knows your body better than you do.
Right.
And if you have like a conviction about what's happening with you, like go in there with that conviction, because you get to speak for yourself. They don't, to you or to them, you're just, you know, another person walking in the door. But so it can be intimidating to like dive in and try to understand all that information. But the more you do it, it just is like another language. You just pick it up and you start learning it.
You do. And also, you know, pick a different doctor too. Like if they're respectful but don't really want to do it, but they're willing to, I mean, that might be fine. But if someone's just like, if some doctor's just really not on board and making you feel bad, find someone else, because there are a lot of other, like, especially naturopathic physicians now, like they're actual physicians, but it's with a naturopathic slant to it, or alternative health doctors. Like if I have one locally now, and I went to him and like, he's really low key. I was like, hey, this is what I wasn't even expecting him to give me a prescription, actually, because I used to get mine overseas without one, because I kind of had just taken control of my own health. And so I was like, okay, here, so just to let you know, I take this thyroid medication in this dosage, I take this adrenal medication in this dosage, and occasionally I adjust it when I feel like I need to, you know, and that's worked great for me for about 5 years now. And I was so surprised. He was like, okay. He's like, well, I'll just, and he started writing me a prescription for what I told him I took. This was my first meeting with him. I was actually there for my son, I think. I had no idea. And so I just really, I was like, oh, really? Well, thank you, you know? So he just like trusted me and he's like, you know, it'd be nice if you would get some updated lab testing, you know, that would be helpful. And which was fine with me, you know, but I just respected that he understood that, okay, I knew my body, you know, and that I was obviously fine. And so, yeah, if you can find somebody like that, like search around, because there are doctors like that out there, you know? So anyway, I'm really glad that you shared all that. So you have really been through so much, Jessica. I mean, you've had cancer. I mean, this, all this stuff, the insulin thing, that's so crazy. Being in a coma. Oh man. So,
My husband does, but I don't.
God. Yeah. I mean, and how old were you when you had the cancer?
I was 25.
25. I mean, that's abnormal. Like, you don't have cancer when you're
That's not
25. Like,
normal.
something's wrong. So, and then the Lyme disease, that's from some of you guys know that that's usually a chronic lifelong thing that you have to keep at bay and try to figure out.
That you have to manage.
Yes, yeah, exactly. You just manage the symptoms. So, okay, cool. So, all of that happened. And then, so it's after that that you found HCG?
Yes, so I found HCG because my mom and dad had done it, and they did it through my osteopath in Virginia that actually prescribed it to them. And my husband and I over Thanksgiving are going to New York, and we're renewing our vows, and it'll be 10 years. So I just wanted to feel good about myself, and I didn't want like necessarily. I'm not afraid to work hard. But the Lyme disease makes it difficult for me to like exercise and move around a lot. And so I wanted something that was going to work so that by the time I got there to renew my vows, I just felt comfortable in my own skin again. So my mom told me, you know, look it up online. I found a place online. There's like HCG Complex, HCG Triumph. You can do it through the doctor. There's so many options. And I actually did HCG Triumph because it was the only thing that had ingredients that I wasn't allergic to in it. So, and it was much cheaper than going through the doctor. And I thought, I can spend this money, and if it doesn't work, it's not that much money wasted. So I got it and I started doing it. I was on the drops for I think they say like no more than 40 days. I did it for about 31 days and was like, at first I was terrified to weigh myself. So you're supposed to weigh yourself every day. I would like close my eyes and have my husband write down my weight because I didn't want to know. Just like,
Only tell me if it went down. No.
if it's the same or it's like up, I do not want to know. And then I realized my logic was a little off because if he didn't say anything, I was going to know.
Then you would
So
know. I know. It's okay. It's those emotional things.
he's more in control. So
Right. Gotcha.
that's.
So you ended up losing about 24 pounds, you said, in 31 days?
Let's see. It was, yeah, about that. Yeah, and then I've lost more since doing P3 to Life. So yeah, on the drops, it was about 24 pounds.
Awesome. In a little over a month, which is fantastic because, yeah, you got pretty small in that time too. So, yeah, that's really great. And then when you were doing P2, just since we're talking about it, were you doing like the general 500 calorie diet or did you make any adjustments or?
No, I am a rule follower. So anything that is like guaranteed, this is gonna work, that's what I'm gonna do.
Gotcha.
So the only exception I made was there was I wanted more flavor. And I learned a lot later about like spices and cooking and stuff, but I didn't know that much during P2. So I was eating the same stuff. I mean, every single day. This is what's gonna work. This is what I was drinking black coffee all day long because it was the only like comfort thing that I could have. So I added like this mustard-based thing from Trader Joe's, but it was like 0 calories and had absolutely nothing in it. So apart from that, like one ex that was like my treat. Apart from that one exception, I was pretty rigid with it.
Wow, yeah. When mustard is a treat, I mean, you know that you're strict. Well, good for you. That's awesome. Cool. And then so you ate pretty much, so with the ingredients then, did you eat pretty much the same, like, did you have a lot of the variety of the P2 vegetables and meats, or was it pretty standard that you stuck to?
I ate a lot of fish and a lot of chicken. The beef, I had beef a couple times and just noticed it didn't necessarily change my weight, but I didn't feel as good when I would eat beef.
Sure.
I think some of it is my blood type doesn't do great with red meat. And
sure.
It's so funny when you take a bunch of stuff out and then start adding things back in, you really become aware of what works for you and what doesn't.
Totally.
And so I had beef a couple times. And then I would rotate my vegetables, but I ate mostly, like, I ate a lot of onions. I love onions and spinach because I know that your greens are, like, really good for you.
Yeah.
And then I stuck with, like, the same fruit the whole time. I ate strawberries and occasionally an apple.
Okay, so you would just have, like, strawberries twice a day or something? Or
yes.
A yeah. handful. Gotcha.
Like English toffee stevia on them to
yeah.
give them some flavor, and it was really good.
Awesome. Yeah, I love that one too. Cool. Okay, great. Yeah, so that's awesome. So I guess that leads us then to how you came – well, I guess you already knew about my blog, so that's probably how you found out about P3 to Life. So, yeah, what made you decide to try it? Like, what were your reservations when – this was your first P3 then. So what were your hesitations with P3 that made you kind of choose to try doing the program?
So I was looking for so much information online about P3, and there's just not that much information. There's a lot of people's opinions or, you know, here's a recipe that might work, but I wanted like a step-by-step guide on how to add in your fats and add more calories. Like I knew enough to know not to just go into it adding everything back all at once. So I wanted, like I said, I'm very rigid when it comes to stuff like that. I like rules, and I wanted a way to do that. And so I had used your blog periodically throughout P2, because any question I had, you had the answer on there. So I would just Google the question, and it was always you that came up. I learned a lot, and so I knew that I trusted like what you had to say. So when I started digging more and realizing that you had P3, and I went to my husband. I was like, I don't care if like I have to work to pay this. We have to have this, because I knew it was going to be what I needed. It was more than what I needed, and so it was very good. But that's what made me decide to do it. Is it just made me feel safer.
Gotcha.
To have a step-by-step thing.
Cool. That's good to hear. So when it came to actually doing the program then, like what were the results from following it? Like as far as with your weight and stabilization or losing or whatnot?
I was very excited to add food. I could not add as much food as I like mentally wanted to initially.
Right.
Because I full really fast.
Sure. And yeah, that usually happens when you come off P3 because you've been eating less. Your
yes.
appetite usually comes back gradually. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like, so I would eat like a little bit and feel like it was so much food. And then I would, you know, but what I would do is like, I noticed that I would get hungry a little bit later. So I would take like one portion and kind of split it up like throughout the day.
Perfect.
And that would, you know, so that was really good. And then when I added dairy back in, my weight did go up a little bit, and I have a dairy allergy, and I knew that before. And so I thought, oh, I'm just going to try it. And
right.
And then it didn't totally work for me.
Yeah.
So I don't eat dairy. Like anytime it calls for half and half, I
sure.
use coconut cream.
Yeah.
And, or like, full fat coconut milk or something that
right.
kind of has a little bit of the same consistency. So I noticed that the dairy thing didn't work for me, but everything else did. And
okay.
I learned a lot about cooking and a lot about flavors. And so I followed all of the like caloric stuff. And,
yeah.
but I mostly ate to like whenever I felt hungry.
Yeah. That's totally what I recommend people do.
Yeah. It worked, and it also like gave me some understanding, but the calories and the macros and everything gave me a little bit like if I was going to go out to dinner with a friend, it helped me kind of realize like where I was calorically and
yes.
what would be okay to order from a restaurant and how
good.
To, you know, so it was like a good guide for that kind
good.
Of thing.
I'm so glad to hear that, actually, because that is kind of what part of my goal was as well. It's like even though it's a really structured plan, the idea is that through kind of following it, you kind of learn to intuitively know, you know, or have a guideline, like you said, to go out to eat, or later in stabilization, just to kind of intuitively know how to eat for yourself to stay stable with your weight, you know. And I'm glad you brought about the dairy too, because we don't even add dairy until week three because it is a sensitive food group for a lot of people. So we purposefully wait till week three. And then when week three comes, there's not really that, it's a very small amount of dairy and it's not in every dish at all. And I'm glad that, like you said, you definitely checked because that's the point. And then it's very easy to sub out, like you said, coconut cream, or like it's like two tablespoons of half and half, you know, in a smoothie. It's like really small. So yeah, you just sub it out. It's not hard at all. It's not like this huge cheesy lasagna or something that you're like, what do I do with this now? You know, so yeah, so that's perfect. And that's exactly, you know, what you would do. So that's very good. Yeah. So with doing that then, how was your, did you have to do any correction days while you were on P3 to Life then?
I did not. There were
Cool.
like a couple days where it would go, up like 6 ounces, or I would be up a pound, and
Sure.
it was like really hard for me to not want to like immediately correct that because it
Yes.
was very mentally terrifying to me.
Right.
But one thing I learned through doing this is that my body actually, it knows how to recover. Like it knows how to bounce back. And everything I used to have this fear that everything I put into my body like one time was going to cause this permanent, long-lasting thing that I would never be able to fix. And
Yeah.
that wasn't it at all. So I never did a correction day, partially because I really wanted in my mind to just teach myself to like be patient and let your body do
Yes.
what it knows how to do, what it was made to do.
Right. I'm
So.
glad you mentioned that too, because that is why there is a range for, like they say, trying to keep your LDW within 2 pounds or so. Or in some cases, like if you didn't have the fruits on P2, you may have used up your glycogen stores, or if you're weightlifting. So in those cases, you actually have to give yourself more wiggle room, really. But like you said, I'm glad that you, because it is our tendency. Like when we see the scale move at all, you're like, oh my gosh, what does this mean? What if it happens again tomorrow and the next day? And before you know it, I'm going to be 50 pounds overweight again, like in a month. You know?
It shouldn't be like Ben, as my husband. Okay, so it was up 5 ounces. Like, do you think that does that mean I'm getting fat again?
I know. Your husband's name is Ben.
Yes.
So is mine. Oh,
He would go, "Have you talked to HCG Chica about this?" Because he like did not know what to do with the insanity.
oh gosh, no, because I totally know what you mean. Like it's taken me years to retrain my brain. Yeah, you know, and now I'm used to it because I've been through it so much. And so it's like, yeah, even me, I've been maintaining 5 years now. Like since I've been done with HCG, it's literally been 5 whole years that I have not done HCG, and that I'm still the same size. You know, but I have had, in general, I probably have about a 3 pound weight fluctuation in general. You know, depending on how active I was, or you know, what I ate or whatnot, and you know, your period or whatnot, you know. So
It's real.
you do have to trust that a little bit, and then like not do the correction day unless it's actually seeming necessary, you know.
Yes.
So very cool. No, I'm glad you shared that because that's a hard thing to learn. It's easy to panic, you know. So that's great. So you might go up a little bit here and there, which is normal, but then other than that, you are pretty stable.
It was so interesting because I was like 126 when I stopped. Well, I was about like 127 when I stopped the drops, and then
Okay.
I would, I kind of dropped down and settled at 126 for a little bit, and then it was like I was up to 126.8, and I'm freaking out. And then the next day I was down to 124, and
Wow.
I don't know. It just is so interesting to notice like the patterns of fluctuation.
Yeah.
And after that, I kind of settled like around 122. Now I land between 121 and 123
Wow.
on any given day.
That's fantastic. So you've kind of really lost a few pounds then.
I have, yes.
And
It's
what, how many weeks now have you been on
I have been
P3-ish?
doing P3 to Life for about 7 weeks.
Awesome. Very cool. Yeah, and so it's obviously working well with your body, keeping the dairy out, of course. Yeah. Yeah, because you're like a good 4 to 7 pounds below your finishing weight. That's awesome. That's great. Cool. So with the meals then, like tell me about like what you thought about like I guess maybe the taste of the meals, or was there anything new to you about that whole thing with the cooking and the eating and all that?
Was new to me because even though I knew how to eat healthy, I did not know how to cook.
Gotcha.
And there are ways to eat healthy without cooking, but this was just very different for me. And it's something my husband has asked me for like 10 years. Can you start cooking? That's something that's really
Could you use like a spice in your
Yeah. That makes me feel loved, and I don't know why, but I just couldn't. I would go through like phases. But it was fun because we started doing it together. I'm very social, so it helps me to cook with somebody. And it was so interesting because I had like a lot of fear about cooking. And so when I started cooking, it was like, oh, it really is as simple as following the directions. And like you have the turkey chili in the very beginning. It's like put the turkey in the pot and let it just basically be in there for like 10 minutes. I was like, this is not gonna work. The turkey's gonna burn. And I went to the pot and it was like, oh my gosh, this looks like how it's supposed to look. I was amazed. So I learned a lot about flavors and flavor combinations and was very, now I'm like, oh, I could pick any one of these recipes and cook for people coming to my house and have confidence that they were gonna be like very impressed with it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. And how would that compare with like you said, what you did before? Because I know you ate before. So like how is it different? Is it just like the spices or just like even the vegetables? Or what is it that's different about how you would eat before versus with these meals?
I think, yeah, the spices and the vegetables. I would do like before a lot of salads with like grilled chicken, which is great, but it's not. You can't do that every single day, you know? And I knew enough about health to do high protein and kind of like lower carb. But one thing I learned through this is, and I have a gluten allergy, so that also helps me with the carb thing because it's just not worth what it does to my joints and stuff. But I learned like, okay, there's actually a lot of carbs in what we're eating in P3. And it kind of helped me not be afraid of that because all you hear are like low carb, low fat. And some of these recipes are actually very high fat, actually have a lot of carb content to them, but it works. And they have things that your body needs. So I learned a lot about like not being afraid of fats and carbs. And the sugar thing was also like a big, so that is carbs, but it's not good carbs. And it's just, so I learned about yeah, there's a lot of vegetables that have carbs in them, but it's good for you. So
Cool.
it's,
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah,
yeah.
that seems to be kind of one of the number one thing that the P3 to lifers are surprised by is the carb content in some of the meals.
Yeah.
And just for you guys who aren't, who aren't a member, none of the carbs come from grain or beans or sources like that. So they're all from low carb sources, like she mentioned, like vegetables and small amounts of fruit. So like you don't even eat a whole apple on P3 to Life at one time, like ever. Like so the fruit, it's very minimal. I'm very strategic about how things are combined. So it's like you might have a quarter cup of an apple in a mug muffin or something like that. So it is, I was very thoughtful about it. But like you said, when you look at the actual numbers, it's surprising sometimes, and you think initially, like, that's too many carbs. Like, this meal has 15 or 20 net carbs, but it's from mushrooms and bell pepper and onions. And I think we just haven't really gotten to see too many meals with that many vegetables, what the actual carb count is. And then when you see it, you're like, oh, that's just not gonna work. Like, I'm gonna gain weight. But then you as you see, you've lost weight. It's from vegetable sources, your body processes it differently, So, and it gives you so much more freedom, right, to eat.
I learned
Awesome.
like it was so I learned like new love of things. Like I used to be afraid of mushrooms and
Really?
I like the texture just freaks me out. I don't love it.
They're
Now,
a little weird, huh?
you have us like chopping them up really small, so that helps. But I remember I did the deconstructed egg roll bowl with mushrooms, and then like the next week or something, I had all the ingredients except the mushrooms, and I was trying to use the groceries I had. I made it without the mushrooms, and it was like, huh. I was like, it's like not
You're
as.
bummed out.
And I was afraid to put them in there before, but I knew because I knew I didn't like him. And
right.
But I was like, no, I want to do exactly what she says, because I knew that there was like a method to the madness. There's
yeah.
a reason that mushrooms, calorically and nutritionally speaking, are in that recipe. So
yeah. Good.
That's why.
So you got used to some new things that you were yeah. suspicious of. That's good. I love hearing that. I keep hearing that all the time, you know, that there's a lot of foods that women were thinking like, either I don't like this or I feel leery of it. And then it's ended up making them really like it, which is nice when there's more foods that you can eat and maintain with. Like, it's just easier when you can have more variety in your life. Because I personally feel anyway that it's when we get to the point where we're like sick of what we're eating or we're bored of it, that
yeah.
we kind of feel like, okay, well, I'm sick of these boring meals I'm making. So yeah, I'm going to go out to eat and just have a huge pizza or just like, you know.
I quit today.
Yeah, you know, but then when you know how to make meals, but there's enough variety where you feel like, oh, I'm so in the mood for like fish taco type thing or something else.
Yeah.
It's like there's that variety so you don't get tired, you know.
Absolutely.
That's cool. That's awesome. Do you have so with your schedule then, I don't know, like, so did you follow like the original meal plan or the simplified, or did you just kind of pick out P3 to life meals of your choice?
So I did the original. And
oh, right, because you're a rural gal, so you would have picked the most original one. Okay.
And then, like, if there was a day that we didn't make it to the grocery store or didn't have something that we needed,
sure.
I would, like, look at a recipe and kind of compare, like, the macros and the calories for it to kind of add in, like, if I had something for the deconstructed egg roll bowl, but it wasn't that night,
sure.
but it was similar, like, I
totally.
Would do that sometimes,
good.
Like, place it. I work full-time. And my husband works full time.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you about that. Okay.
Yeah, we don't have kids, so I go to work at 7 and I don't get home till 5. And
wow.
so and I have doctor's appointments 4 or 5 days a week after work. So
wow.
I would like take Sunday afternoons and we would just cook almost everything for the week.
Okay.
And so we do, and I didn't do this until about week 4, but we have like a tradition of doing like pizza and movie night on Friday nights. And
yeah.
so I do that now on Friday nights, but I do like, you know, gluten-free goat cheese. Like
yeah.
it's not like real pizza, but,
it works.
But I would like cook everything except for that night. And,
gotcha.
Just heat it up throughout the week.
Very cool. And then you guys would do that together, you said, right?
Yes.
Did
so
you
took,
shop the same day as well? Did you grocery shop Sunday or Saturday?
We would grocery shop sometimes on the same day, sometimes the day before, but
okay.
it was usually like 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, we'd start cooking and we would be done by dinner time. And so
gotcha.
it didn't take very long. If you have,
cool.
he's a really good vegetable chopper. So that really
nice.
Helps. That takes time.
Yeah. If you don't have one of those, you should like go on Craigslist and rent one.
I definitely need one.
You know what? Even my son, he's 8 now. He's actually getting pretty good at like chopping stuff. Like he can chop mushrooms. Maybe not like a butternut squash. That's, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, he could do mushrooms. It's, yeah,
I can't butternut squash.
Yeah, I know. Really. Those are hard. That's why I made a video tutorial about it, because I was like, this is hard. We need a tutorial about this.
Yeah.
So, okay. So even though you are busy, you're both full-time workers, a lot of women who work full time end up doing the simplified menu just because it can be overwhelming. But you guys made it work to do all the meals on a Sunday afternoon in advance and be prepped and stuff. So did you keep them all in like little glass or plastic like containers to eat?
I did like glass Tupperware. I'm one of those glass
right.
Tupperware, you know,
yes,
no BPAs type.
Yes, right. Good.
And so, and then I would just label them and I would write like Monday lunch, you know,
cool.
Tuesday dinner. And that
nice.
Way, and I would, and what I did, cause I like it to be, I'm like an organizer and a planner. So my husband, I would double everything so that he had enough. And what I would do is just split the recipe in half. Half was his. And then I took my half and divided it up between two meals.
Perfect.
So,
that's
yeah.
great. Yeah, that's awesome. Because that's how in the original menu, most of the meals are designed that way, where you get like a dinner and a lunch out of it, or two lunches or something like that. So,
yeah.
You would just reheat them at work then? Is that?
I would take my lunches and reheat them at work. And it, we don't have a microwave at the house. So we would put, like, I just would heat everything up in the oven.
Cool.
at night for dinner.
Gotcha.
Or if the crock pot recipe turned it on at lunch or
Gotcha.
something.
Now, since you don't have a microwave at home, I've had this question a few times. Did you make the mug muffins? Did
I
you?
did.
And did
What
you make them in the oven, or what did you do?
I made them in the oven, and so what I would do is mix the stuff like the night before, because I had more time in the evening, and then because I get up at like five, and
Totally. Oh my goodness.
so I would then just like take it out and put it in the oven, and while my coffee was brewing, while I was getting ready for work, it would cook in the oven.
Oh wow, so you actually would cook an individual portion, you mean? Like
I
after having it.
did.
Okay. Wow, that's cool. Well, like you said, you're getting ready anyway, so I guess if you just stick it in there for, because I think it takes, when it's in the oven, it's a little longer, right? Like 25
It
minutes or
takes
so.
25 minutes, yeah.
Yeah. I had another interview with a gal where they did it in the oven, and they just did she like, I don't know if it was like quadrupled the recipe or something, and she did it in a loaf pan in the oven.
Oh,
So
awesome.
she made the whole thing, and just it obviously took like an hour and something to cook, but once it did, then they would just slice it, and then it was already cooked, and
Great
then
idea.
yeah. So you might try that. I think I actually put that somewhere on the site. I can't remember now. It's been a little while, but yeah, it's neat to see like the different ways people do stuff. Yeah, so that's an option for those of you who don't have a microwave. So yeah, very cool. Did you end up trying any of the dessert smoothies at night?
I did. I mean, the first like 3 weeks, every single night, because I wanted something like sweet tasting. That craving kind of, I don't have it as much anymore.
Cool.
So I do it sometimes now, but
Yeah.
I did. I don't have a great blender.
Gotcha.
It like inspired me to get a blender. My sister-in-law literally just texted me, "What do you want for Christmas?" I'm gonna tell her like a nice
Oh,
blender. So
yeah.
I wanna. But anyway, so I would make them like in my blender slash my little, what is it, the magic bullet or the,
Yes, right. Yeah.
and so, but I liked one that I made over and over and over again.
Oh, which one's that?
The cinnamon, like
The
snickerdoodle one.
snickerdoodle one? Cool. Awesome.
Axe crumble tasted like cookie to me, so I was like, I just want something kind of crunchy and cookie-like.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Very cool. Awesome. And you made it work with your blender. But you know what? Once you get your new blend, like if you get a nicer one, you're going to be like, no comparison. You're going to be like,
I'd have chunks of ice, or it'd be kind
right?
of like water separating. Then I would drink it. It was
Yeah,
still
it works, but yeah, once you get like a nicer blender with the dessert smoothies, I mean, it's like ice cream. It's you'll be
Yeah.
like, I'm never going back.
I will make every day.
Yeah, but that's great because it's a way to have something sweet, right? That has very few calories, but there's some volume there, and you can watch a show or something and have something to munch on.
It felt like a treat every night, so.
Yeah, well, good. I'm glad. And it's neat how you said too that your cravings have changed. Like,
Yeah.
you have less cravings now?
I do. I used to be like I used to crave like starch and sugar all the time. And that doesn't mean like my cravings have changed. It doesn't mean that I don't eat stuff like that now. I mean, I
Right.
do. Yesterday I had some barbecue chips. They were there. I couldn't resist them.
Yeah.
Or I could, but I just chose not to in that
You're like, it's
moment.
fine. Yeah.
And so I, but the craving has changed. I didn't realize like I had actually probably a pretty like serious addiction to food. And when I started changing my diet, I have a friend and we go to like girls' night every Wednesday. And I found myself getting very like anxious getting ready to go out to dinner because it was like, what do I do without the chips and queso and my glass of wine? And how do I, it was like, how do I socially have these experiences that are revolved around food that like don't involve food anymore? It the pressure's on to really like connect with somebody, and I didn't realize how much that affected my thinking until
Interesting.
I just didn't have it anymore. And now I will still have a glass of wine or I'll still eat stuff, but my focus about like how comfortable that made me feel, it's not there anymore. So,
Gotcha.
yeah.
That's really cool. It's neat to see that change happen, you know, because I feel like that's also a big part of learning how to maintain long term, you know, is kind of being able to figure out how to make that shift happen, you know. What do you think has made that possible for you?
The shift
To
to
like you said, kind of not being so focused on the food or the cravings as much that you can have something, but not like, what do you think has helped create that shift? Do you know?
I think how good I feel, and I like being in control, not in like a controlling type of way, but right. I don't like my body, my health is already so beyond my control that if that's something I can do and have kind of some control over, like I can choose to have one glass of wine instead of three glasses of wine. I can choose to have, you know, a dessert smoothie instead of a cupcake, or like it kind of, it's like, what are my priorities? My priority is I want to feel good. I want to feel good mentally about myself. And the more I realized that those were the choices I needed to make to feel that way, they just got easier to make, you know?
That's good. No, I'm glad you shared that. I think I probably had a similar experience in my own maintenance. I think once you figure out how you can maintain with your eating, you feel like power, you know, like you're not powerless anymore. Because sometimes, you know, when you feel like you're eating healthy, but you still gain weight and you don't know why, I feel like that leads to a feeling of powerlessness. And then you kind of lose control over those other parts too, because you just feel like, well, I don't even know how to be in control. Like I try to be in control and it just doesn't even work, you know? So I feel like with that piece, and then like you said, I feel the same way. I do have a lot more ability to choose to do something, or like if I eat, you know, something different on one day, like it pretty much never extends beyond one day of kind of eating off.
Yeah.
Because I do have that ability now to choose and be like, you know what, it's so worth keeping my body the way it is and feeling good. It's like all of that negative stuff that goes with being out of control. Yeah. It's just not worth it anymore. And I can make that choice and then, you know, change my eating the next day to correct if I need to, or just to eat healthier or whatnot.
I have a lot of friends who are very just naturally very thin and they can eat whatever they want. And I also had to get over this, like, I'm just not going to be one of those people. Right. That's okay. One thing I've learned from P3 to life is that I can eat stuff. I can, like, if – you know, I can eat. I don't have to live restricted. I may not be able to go to Jimmy John's and get a sub, but I can, you know, make something at home that still tastes good and is satisfying and fills me up. And so I had to just learn, like, I'm not going to be one of those people, but I can feel as good as those people. Right. I can feel as free as those people. I just have to make different decisions to feel that way.
That's good. Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, too, because it's kind of pointless to spend too much time like feeling sorry for ourselves like that. Cause I remember when I first realized that I was allergic to gluten too, and I got off, you know, it's like, I admit there was a few times when I was like feeling sorry for myself that like, I could never have a regular piece of pizza again. Like, I'm like, cause I've had, maybe I just need to have the gluten-free pizza. You have all the ones I've had just haven't been good. Like they're not even worth eating to me.
Yeah.
So I'm just probably having the wrong ones, but yeah. So, and there was a few times I'm just like, this is just so unfair. Like you know, but I finally got past it. And like you said, I think finding foods that you can eat that are satisfying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then just realizing that that's it. I mean, what do I really want? That's just how it is. And like, I could sit and whine about it and eat it anyway and feel horrible. Yeah. Or I could just accept it.
And you also kind of learn, like, socially, if you're going to go to someone's house for dinner and you know there's going to be a dessert there, like, I take stuff that I know that I can eat so that I can participate in the dessert with everyone.
Nice.
Or tonight is like a friend of mine, it's her birthday party and they're doing grilled pizzas. And so I'll take my dinky little crust over there. And, but it's like, I can be a part of it, but it's just not going to look the exact same as everybody else.
Yeah. But it's not like you're completely alienated either.
Right.
So that's awesome. That's good. Yeah. I think finding all those are the keys, you guys, to long-term maintenance. That's what this is all about. It's finding those things. Cause it's those little triggers that can kind of set us off and be like, if you don't know those alternatives, you just kind of, well, then forget it. I'm just going to do this. And then,
and planning is like really good, because I'll like sit down on a Sunday. Cause when I'm going to cook now, I think, okay, what days are we going to be here for dinner? What days are we not?
Yeah.
What are my social events? And I will, you know, pick like, okay, Wednesday night, I know I'm going to have a glass of wine. Friday night, I know I'm going to have pizza. Well, I knew I was going to today. So today's Saturday. So I didn't last night. You just kind of like look at your week as a whole and make choices ahead of time so that you don't find yourself being caught off guard trying to make a decision that, you know, just make your mind up ahead of time what you're going to do. And that really helps. If I go to a restaurant, I research things before I go. Like, I look at the menu and pick out what I'm going to have so that I'm ready for it, you know?
Right, exactly. And that's such a good point, too, because you often can indulge here and there. Mm-hmm. Like you said, as long as you plan ahead and then it's not every night or three times a day or, you know what I mean? Like you said, when you plan it out, it can totally fit within the grand scheme of things. And then you can sometimes eat a little lighter or change up what you do for a day or two before or after. And it can all fit in, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Did you have any favorite P3 to Life meals?
Yes. I was like asking my husband before you called, like, what were our favorite ones? I loved the deconstructed egg roll bowl, which I hate pork, but I really liked that.
Awesome.
So it was really good. And then I really liked the Thai curry meatballs. Really anything with curry was like
cool
to me, which I didn't even know I liked curry, but apparently I do.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Awesome. That's one of my favorites too, actually. And that one's easy. Do you have an Instant Pot? No, I
have a crock pot.
Okay, well, that's cool, too. Yeah, yeah, because the Thai curry meatball one is really easy and fast if you do it in the Instant Pot, so that's really cool. Very cool. I don't know if you got to this at all, but in the P3 to Life plan, I have a whole, like, coaching video section. Like, did you happen to go through any of those at all? And if so, did you get anything out of that, or?
I went to maybe the May Day. I've watched, because what would happen is I would still have questions on P3 to Life. And so I remember a couple times emailing and saying, hey, do you have something about this? And you would direct me to, you know, here's where you can find the video about this. So I would watch them. I watched the one about making the dessert smoothies, and I just settled, like, I need a new blender.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I know. I was like, gotcha. I know, that's because it's like so important. Like, we need a whole course on this.
It makes a big difference. So it's all of the tools and resources for really any question that you have is available right there. So
that's cool.
It's very convenient.
That's good. Well, I'm so glad you've had such a good experience with it. Do you feel like just for anyone else who's out there thinking about it, because it is kind of an investment as far as money goes, like, do you feel like it's worth it, and why? Like, what would you tell someone else who's kind of trying to decide?
I absolutely think it's worth it because if you are going to make the investment in HCG to start off with and you're going to stick to the 500-calorie thing for however many days, like, you're already invested in it. You're already, you know, dedicated to doing it. And so, to me, like, you're talking about the rest of your life. You're not just talking about a frivolous expense. So you're spending the money to set yourself up for success for the rest of your life. And the recipes now that I have, and I think when you purchase P3 to Life, you have access to it forever.
Forever. So, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, now it's like anything that changes, anything new that comes, like, I have access to that. Yeah. And I printed everything out and I have a whole binder. And so it's a long-term investment, and you're talking about your life and your health. So.
That's cool. That's good. That's awesome. I actually mentioned, since you mentioned printing it out, did you print out the printable version or the color, or how did you, is that how you cooked off of printed pages?
Yeah, I love the color version, but I printed it at work and it caused a lot of
No,
money.
I know. I wouldn't expect anyone to actually print the color version, but some gals do. So you did the printable?
I did.
Good. No, that's the that's why that one's there. So, yeah, cool. I'm always just curious if how many people are actually cooking, like, from their tablet versus printing out the printable version.
I do both sometimes, but like, if I'm at the grocery store and I have my phone, I will, like, pull it out and look up, you know, all the recipes.
Right.
Oh, I use both, but I like having, like, a book.
I know. No, I hear you. I think actually a lot of the gals end up doing that. I'm kind of the same way. I printed them all out too. I have them in a binder. It's like, same thing. Yeah. It's just easier. So it's like my tablet will, like, shut off, you know, like stay on. There's probably some setting I don't know about to, like, keep it awake.
Like, pictures and screensavers are coming up.
I know. Yeah. So, well, cool. Well, thank you so much for sharing all that. I think that's kind of all I wanted to, ask you about the P3 thing, you know? So, yeah. And that's great that you're maintaining, you know, and you're also, that's probably the smallest you've been in a long time, huh?
That's the smallest I've been in since since I got diagnosed with cancer 4 years ago.
Wow, man.
I like after that I stabilized around like 130.
Yeah.
And then just kept going up and up.
gosh, that's crazy. Well, thank you for sharing all that with me today. I really appreciate it. That was awesome.
Thank you.
Hey guys, my name is Jess and I was just gonna do a video testimonial about the P3 to Life program that I did. So I started HCG back in August and I finished somewhere around the beginning of October and I went straight into Raizel's P3 to Life program. So she has 7 weeks of recipes and then a couple of extra ones. And so I just started at week one and I did everything that she told us to do. I ate every meal that we were supposed to, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I know that you don't always have to do that, but that's how I did it because I'm a rule follower and I really liked having the structure set out for me. So I did that and when I finished my last day of drops, I was at 128. And then when I did an interview with her in November and I was around 123. So I now have finished all 7 weeks and my husband and I do, for like the meals that we eat, we just pick some of her recipes and mostly eat that. I have days where I eat pizza or french fries or a glass of wine because I live in the deep south, so all of those things are really popular here. So I have days like that, but mostly I eat the food that she laid out for us, and I now have stabilized at 117 pounds. So what she does works. She spent a lot of time putting this together, and I just wanted to do a testimonial to say what a great job she's done and how much it actually works. Sometimes transitioning off the drops and into regular food, like I had a lot of fear about adding carbs and dairy and all of that back in, but I just followed her protocol and it's been really awesome. So also, just so you know about me, I am 5 feet. My starting weight was 150 pounds and I have a lot of health issues. I don't have a thyroid, so I don't regulate my metabolism really well, and I had just other tumors and I had thyroid cancer and I have chronic Lyme disease.